Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Jonas, I don't know if you saw Twitter today.
Yeah.
I let everybody know if you come on my Twitter and you're going to be a little salty or you're trying to be slick or you say something mean-spirited, you know, you get blocked on Rob Parker's Twitter. Yeah. Do you know that?
No, I heard about that. Yeah, I heard, but at least, you know, you're not deleting it and then not really apologizing afterwards.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. That was somebody else I got confused with. Sorry
yes,
about that. We'll get to
me.
That later on.
Matter of fact, Jonas, here it is, just in case you missed it. It's my Twitter, and I'll block if I want to. Block if I want to. Block if I want to.
Christ.
You would block, too, if they tried to diss you.
Why did I say
this? Oh, my. There we go. Great work by Alex and Elijah. Put together some video to go along with it for social media. And it was there. But all right, Jonas, let's get started.
It's literally like at a certain point I start to feel bad for Elijah. It's almost like if you had, I don't know, just, you know, this purely hypothetical. If you had like somebody who was your producer and you were making them put together your receipts for taxes.
What?
You know, it's almost like if that were to happen. You know,
Rob
like
Parker.
Not that that would ever happen with Rob Parker. I'm just saying,
no,
like, if it were to happen, it'd be crazy if it did.
Rob G, are you telling our secrets?
Wow. I didn't have to say anything. Jonas walked in and saw me with an accounting hat. Just
I was in studio and I see Rob Guerra putting in a password to TurboTax. And I'm like, what are you doing? We're trying to do a show.
Well, he's just helping me out. That's all.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I ain't paying for that.
Unbelievable.
He didn't.
No, I'm not paying. No, let's get started. Tom Brady.
Yes.
You know, this kills me. The NFL has a new rule, I guess. They just adopted a new rule that allows more flexibility when it comes to numbers worn on players' jerseys. You know that for a long time, certain players could only have certain numbers. It was a way of identifying them and whatnot. But now, players can now wear any numbers. They can wear like a single digit, right? At one point, it was tight ends and wide receivers. 1 to 49 or 80 to 89. Offensive linemen could wear 50 to 79. Defensive linemen can wear 50 to 79 and 90 to 99. And linebackers, 1 to 59 and 90 to 99.
Yeah.
That's all out the window, Jonas. What did you think when you heard about this?
Well, so I didn't, and this is what makes Tom Brady great. And listen, I'm just reading what Rob Parker has put down on paper here. These are Rob Parker's thoughts that I'm going to relay here on the air because Rob
There's
Parker
no
feels
way.
The exact same way.
Oh yeah, but I doubt that.
He trusts me being able to represent him in a way that he can kind of sit back and you know, it's been a busy week and just sort of kick his feet up here. This is what makes Tom Brady wonderful, great, special, and a guy that you've looked up to for going on 2+ decades. Because while everybody else is celebrating the idea of, a defender, a linebacker can now wear number 8, you know, Jalen Ramsey can wear number 2 if he wants to, or number 1, or whatever number they were throwing out for Jalen Ramsey. Like all these other defensive players that can now change the way that they look, a la like they're in college all of a sudden. Tom Brady didn't look at it like who's going to sell the most jerseys now? Tom Brady looked at it from a football standpoint, and he said, so hold on a second. Now you're telling us that we've got to get confused by who's where, what defender is here. We can't make the proper reads and the proper adjustments, which is just another example of why you have always been leading the charge on this, that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, not just for what he does on the field, Rob Parker, and what he does on the up and up with no cutting of corners and nothing like that ever in his career or on his resume.
Okay.
But the fact that Tom Brady has identified a flaw with this when everybody was celebrating it, just goes to show you what a true football genius he is.
Tom Brady, as usual, and you know none of that you just said came out of my mouth. I want no part of it, but this kills me. And Rob G took to Twitter, and he was spot on. He said the things that Tom Brady has a problem with is linebackers wearing a single-digit jerseys, right? Here are the things that Tom Brady doesn't have a problem with. Illegally recording opposing sidelines.
Yeah.
Stadium cutting audio to opposing defensive, opposing coaches' headsets.
Yeah.
Deflating footballs. The tuck rule. All the stuff that helps him win. I don't remember Tom Brady. I remember Tom Brady destroying his phone and never explaining why he had 100 text messages to a ball boy that he claims he didn't even know. I mean, you 100 messages? You must be having a relationship. I mean, and then to say that you don't know him? How in the world could you text somebody 100 times and not know what possibly could you be talking to a ball boy about other than the ball? So this is Tom Brady, as usual, gee whiz, jolly gee, you know, all this other stuff, aw shucks. Tom Brady is like all up in arms, getting dandruff over the idea that a linebacker could wear number one. Oh, I'm confused. Let me see. The guy standing on the other side of the defense in the middle of the field, I don't know who that is. Do you need a number to identify that he's a linebacker? I mean, come on, Tom Brady. Any simpleton could figure this out. Depending on, it can't be a tight end on the other side of the field. It can't be a running back on the other side of the field. Who is it? It's a linebacker. Look at how he's lined up, Mister. I can read the defenses. Are you reading the numbers or the defense? Taking to social media, calling it dumb, belly aching, typical Tom Brady. Where were you about Deflategate and talking about being fair and honest? Where were you when they caught you red-handed with Spygate, talking about cheating? Where were you? Nowhere to be found, Mr. Tom Brady. And now this is what you take to social media? I think I speak for everybody in NFL America outside of New England when I say, you make me sick. Get off of social media.
Hold on a second. All right. That is big talk from a guy who's got his own theme song and anthem now regarding blocking people on social media. All right. So that is big talk. You got a lot of balls. Speaking of ball boys, going on the air telling Tom Brady to get off social media. Let me just say this. You bring up Deflategate, you bring up filming the sidelines, all that stuff. Look, purely an accident. All right, there was nothing intentional there. Somebody just happened to leave the camera on. You ever been pocket dialed before? Somebody doesn't know they're dialing you, and all of a sudden you get a voicemail, and there's just like some ruffling around.
What you hear? You said pocket pool or pocket dialing?
Yeah, two ball quarter pocket. You ever notice it's no more than two ball quarter pocket in that game? But here's the thing. He's identified an issue he has with this, and I think he has earned the right to complain about some of the stuff that has happened in the NFL. I mean, he's had to deal with the fact that he's been accused of things like deflating footballs, which all he did was possibly take a little bit of air out of a football because he felt like it would give him a better grip. And then when he went ahead and did it the NFL's way, he went on to still go on to a Super Bowl that year. So it's not like he's using any of these advantages to quote-unquote get an advantage and get a one-up over anybody else. He just doesn't like the fact that they're trying to make his job a little bit more difficult, just like you didn't like the fact that they raised the price of Diet Coke 12 cents at a Pollo Loco when you tried to get a drink there one time. So Tom Brady spoke out against it, just like you have spoken out against some of the grievances you've had in your life, and I feel like we should respect him for it because he is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Oh, my. Would you please stop? It is unbelievable
that
I just wish he cared about the cheating scandals and trying to make it fair rather than belly aching about something that in the grand scheme of the NFL doesn't really matter. Jonas, come on, man. What, you don't know what player is where and what player is who by position? Who's the number? What, I don't care about the number. Are you really looking at it? And first of all, aren't the numbers only in the back in the NFL?
Can I throw you, there's a lot of ways I could respond to that. All of them are going to get me fired. I'm not going to
do
that.
Yeah, don't do it.
No, I won't do it. But can I throw a couple of conspiracy theories at you that I think you might be able to be a little bit interested in that would go in your favor? Now, I don't believe that these are true, but if I wanted to play conspiracy theorists as to what Tom Brady's really upset about, let me see if you buy into either of these. Number one. How much of this has to do with the fact that all of a sudden a bunch of defensive players who have never gotten the opportunity to wear single-digit numbers and single-digit numbers that look so much cooler than the bulky ones that they've got to wear, how much of that do you think is going to impact jersey sales and knock Tom Brady down near the top of the list, and maybe that's what's bothering him? Maybe there's a little bit of that. Maybe that he's got a little
bit
of an issue
with
that.
Could be a little bit. Hey, so jersey envy, right? Somebody's number might be bigger than his.
Yeah.
I'm talking about selling wise.
That is true. By the way, welcome to Trough Talk Thursdays with Rob Parker here as we will continue to roll on. So there could be a little bit of that maybe he's looking around going, okay, you know, this bothers me. I want my merchandise to be here, and all of a sudden these guys are going to jump in. And here's the other one. Maybe he's laying the groundwork, similar to what LeBron James did last year when it came to the bubble. You remember when LeBron James made it a point to tell everybody, man, it's going to be a lot harder to pick the season back up when you're an older player based on, you know, your body just doesn't react all that way?
Oh, yeah, no, he was trying to sell that story, right.
100% to try and build that narrative. I wonder if maybe this is a little bit of Tom Brady trying to build the narrative that if next year he has success and continues to have success, he can say, and I did this while the NFL was trying to screw me over and make it more confusing to read defenses. So if you're looking for conspiracy, those two I'll buy into 100%.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, good as Anthony Davis now.
Yeah, I mean, apparently, who knew? Anthony Davis, who is set to return later on tonight, Rob Parker, about an hour and a half from now, the second half of the doubleheader on TNT. Anthony Davis is going to be back. He's missed 30 games, but he's going to be back. And I don't know if you've noticed, Rob Parker, against these Dallas Mavericks later on tonight, but now that Anthony Davis is back, the Lakers are immediately back to being NBA title favorites. Because don't worry about LeBron James. He'll be back. You know, don't worry about the ankle injury and all the other stuff he's dealing with. Anthony Davis is back. That's the only concern. I don't know if you've read or heard, but according to so many experts out there, it's a shoo-in. The Lakers are going back to the finals. Can you believe
it? I can't believe it. First of all, this team that everybody said after they won the championship, Jonas, and made moves, you remember that?
Yes.
Schroeder and Gasol and, oh man, this team is better than the team that won the championship. You remember that? That's what they were putting out there.
By the way, is it Schroeder or Schroeder?
Schroeder.
Okay, because Schroeder, that was the guy from Silver Spoon.
That
right?
was Silver Spoon, right. right. That was, see, what was his name? Ricky
Schroeder or Schroeder. I don't know.
How do you say it? Right.
Yeah, Ricky Schroeder, I think, was his name.
Schroeder, but this is Schroeder.
Yeah, from Silver Spoons, which is right. You know, much how you
for dessert
up.
Tonight, I yeah. want an apple Schroeder. Is that it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What? I'm sorry.
Please, please, if you're doing a 10-minute open mic when things open back up in Southern California, let that be part of your 11th minute. That joke is terrible. That joke is terrible.
Alex already knows. We got another open mic coming.
It's about time.
I'm working on it. Yes, time. We did one. But anyway, my point is there's too many things that have to go right, Jonas, for this to work.
Yes.
First of all, you got to get Anthony Davis back. Let's see what – you know he wasn't actually setting the world on fire before he got hurt.
No.
Do people remember that? Like he was having a lackluster year for Anthony Davis. LeBron is in year 18. You know, he's like used to be an Iron Man, and now he's been hurt two of the 3 years he's been in L.A. So we don't know where he's come, where he'll be when he gets back. And then the team, the supporting cast, I don't think is that good. I know they picked up Drummond too, but I don't. I think playoff Rondo, who's now playing across the hall with the Clippers, is a big loss. I think they made a mistake getting rid of both Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. I think there's a – and then let's look at the Western Conference. Would you say Jonas is much stronger than it was a year ago?
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's much stronger. Utah's better. Phoenix is better. The Clippers are better. I know they're under the radar. Nobody wants to talk about them. They're better this year. And I love the pickup of Rondo. I do.
Now, I have heard reports that Adam Silver is trying to get LeBron James back faster than normal just so he stays off Twitter. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I did see Adam Silver have that report that came out. You know,
so what
LeBron
was that?
James.
I'm sorry.
That Adam Silver is trying to get LeBron James back sooner rather than later just so he'll get off Twitter.
No, you know, yeah, that would work.
I don't know. But no, look, I get it. Anthony Davis comes back, it's a big boost. I have been consistent on this from the time he went down with the injury to now. And this is even before LeBron James went down with his injury. When Anthony Davis went down with the injury, a couple of things happened. The odds in Vegas completely shifted towards LeBron James being the favorite to win the MVP. The idea and thought behind it was that because LeBron James didn't have his second best player on the team, his teammate, his partner, that he was going to have to do it all to try and carry the Lakers. And if he did so and they finished atop the West or atop, you know, high up in the Western Conference, LeBron James would be the MVP of the league.
Yes. Well, that's the way it was set up, Jonas.
Yes,
there's no doubt about it. 100%.
100%. And a couple of things happened. All right. Number one, Anthony Davis kept his timeline, kept moving back and moving back and moving back. And that tells me that they probably thought he was going to be a little bit better off sooner than he actually was. And then another thing happened. LeBron James went down with the injury. They can try and tell me all they want that Anthony Davis feels great. This feels rushed because the Lakers are sliding lower and lower in the Western Conference standings. And I just wonder if a small part of this is, if you can get back, we need him back. Because we don't want to fall all the way down and end up with a really bad matchup in the opening round and LeBron coming back rusty off a lengthy injury. So this idea that it's turnkey, just put Anthony Davis in, turn it over, and the engine's going to start, I just don't buy it, man. And that's on top of the fact that he's got an injury that we've seen other players come back too soon and suffer a worse injury, a la Kevin Durant, a la Richard Sherman. I just don't know where this hope and where this faith is that they're going to be back to normal is coming from, honestly.
I just think it's, you know, most analysts and people are lazy. So the easy pick is just they won last year. So,
yes,
of course, they're going to win. Am I right, Jonas?
Yep.
Come on.
100%.
We're all on that. We know how that goes. It's just automatic. Oh, I'm not giving Phoenix a chance. I'm not giving Utah. I don't care what their record is. I don't care how good they played. The Clippers lost last year. They can't win, right? That's all I'm hearing.
Yes. It's and you mentioned the Clippers. And people can, in the words of Rob Parker, poo-poo the Clippers all they want. I'm telling you, man, I think this is the year. I really do. I think the Clippers are a real threat. I think they're a problem. And whatever form of Lakers you get in the postseason, I don't think you're going to get a 100% Lakers. I think LeBron James, obviously still banged up. I have questions about Anthony Davis. The guys that were brought in to replace the players that left the Clippers that we were told were an upgrade across the board,
yep.
I'm not buying it. I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's worked out that way for them. I think they got problems, and for whatever reason, and maybe it is laziness, there's just this refusal to accept any other answer other than the Lakers. And I'm looking
around
going,
but this has been in the LeBron era.
Yes.
You know, like, despite him winning only four times in 17 years, if you listen to people, they just automatically think LeBron's going to win. It was like last year, Jonas, for the MVP. Like they talked themselves into it. It wasn't even close. You know that, right?
It wasn't even close. Yeah, there's this automatic go-to with LeBron. And I don't know if it's that we don't have enough interesting storylines that are out there, but if you just go to the Western Conference, man, I mean, say you get into the postseason and you're looking at the Western Conference and you go to the Western Conference playoffs and it's going to be a lot of fun. Man, I don't know if Utah is a legitimate title contender or if this is one of these teams that does well in the regular season and then ends up getting to the postseason and doesn't have any answers. But I know this. I think they've got a much better chance with a coming back from injury LeBron James and Anthony Davis than they normally would. Phoenix has been great all season long. Whether they can do it in the postseason, who knows? Denver loses Jamal Murray, but Jokic is the MVP of the league.
And they're still winning.
Yes, and the Clippers have quietly played really, really well, especially as of late. So if you want to say the Lakers are the favorite to go to the finals out of the Western Conference, okay, fine. But don't sell me the, it's a wrap, it's over. Once these guys get back, they're going to run away with it. I just don't buy it, man. I think they got problems this year. I really do.
Yeah, I do. And I get it. It's disjointed. And it's funny, too. Like, people go, well, you know, Brooklyn can't win. Look at that. They're all banged up. But somehow the Lakers being banged up doesn't disqualify them. I'm like, what? Is that your analysis? That the Nets are banged up so they can't win, but LeBron hasn't played for 2 months, and they're good to go. Really?
Anthony Davis just missed 30 games.
Right.
He just missed 30 games, and we're just supposed to, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. They're back to normal. I don't know where it comes from.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We talked about this yesterday. Kyle Shanahan, everybody thinks he's the Messiah and he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, even though he's coughed down 2 Super Bowls, okay?
Yeah, fair.
I mean, he for all the good that he's done,
totally fair.
He can't close out Super Bowls. He should be 2-0 in Super Bowls, and he's
totally
not.
Fair.
But Rob G, there were some new quotes that we want to I want to get your take, Jonas, after hearing some of these quotes about Kyle Shanahan.
Right. So the reason we talked about it yesterday was because there was an anonymous NFL evaluator who told ESPN's Matt Miller that the best quarterback from this class will be whoever ends up in San Francisco. And late last night, Daniel Jeremiah, which for NFL Network, was doing a media teleconference, and he was asked about the rumor that Mac Jones is going to go 3rd overall to the Niners. And here's what he said, quote, "You always hear it's about the Jimmies and the Joes, not the X's and the O's. That would be an X's and O's decision. It is, quote, I believe so much in the X's and O's, I need somebody that can just see the game through my eyes and make those decisions," end quote. So it sounds like he's saying, Kyle Shanahan is just saying, hey, my system is what's going to make this guy good.
Yes. Well, we've been hearing this about Kyle Shanahan for a while now. There's been a real push for Shanahan. It's almost like we've gone from McVay to Shanahan, to where Shanahan's now the guy that everybody looks at and goes, oh, well, he's, you know, one of the great offensive mind and great play callers and so on and so forth. And it's not like he's not flawed. I mean, you mentioned the Super Bowl losses, Rob, and look, those aren't normal losses. He's the author of 2 of the worst losses in Super Bowl history.
Jonas,
if we're going to tell
spot on, he choked. If you remember that the game against Atlanta, I mean, when he was with Atlanta, Julio Jones made a great catch. Do you remember the 3rd down play?
Yes.
Set up a 1st and 10 at the 22. You're in field goal range, Jonas, right?
Yep.
I'm not a football coach. You're not a football coach. All you have to do is run the ball 3 straight times, pick up 5 or 6 yards, kick a field goal. You're up by 11. You win the Super Bowl. He has Matt Ryan throwing passes. There's a hold. There's a sack for a big loss. And they're out of field goal range.
Yeah.
Tom Brady moves down, touchdown, right? 2-point conversion ties the game. I mean, he blew that game.
Yeah, and look, this isn't to say that, well, you know, his defense had nothing to do with it. No, the Falcons' defense completely melted down. That was an overall meltdown, but Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator, and he was the guy making play calls. And then in the Super Bowl, the 49ers' defense couldn't stop a 3rd-and-18 or whatever it was for Tyreek Hill, and next thing you know, they completely melted down also. But this idea that no matter who ends up there, they're just going to be good no matter what. I don't know where this started from. I don't know if this is because Nick Mullins had a little bit of success when Jimmy Garoppolo went down. I'm not quite sure, but if you look at his record when Garoppolo's not the starting quarterback, it's not like they're winning a bunch of games. I mean, he's a very good coach. I've talked to players that have played for him, a wide receiver that played for him, and said, man, there are times where you get out there and you'll run around. You'll be in the end zone and you'll catch a pass and there's nobody around you. And you go, how did I get that wide open? So his play designs have always been talked about as some of the best in the NFL. But damn, man, those are a couple of losses that you've been a part of that I don't know how we just sort of dismiss those as not being something in the grand scheme of things when it comes to how we evaluate Kyle Shanahan.
I'm sorry, with you. There's no way I can call this guy a genius. And then people defend him and go, well, you know, the Falcons been throwing the ball all year. Yeah, I get it. But there comes a time when you need to run the football. If you remember, they had over 100 yards rushing in that game. They ran the Patriots out of the building in the first half of that Super Bowl. And they had a 28-3 lead. Yep. They only rushed the ball 4 times in the second half. When you have a big lead in the NFL in football, you have to run the football. I mean, that's elementary.
And look, let's be honest about it. Ego does play a part in this because an offensive coordinator who wants to get noticed, the offensive coordinators to get noticed, you ever notice it's never the guy who's got the best rushing attack? It's always the guy who's got the top-rated offense and they're throwing passes down the field.
Yep.
Because that gets looked at more so than a guy who's really good at putting together run schemes because that's about blocking and how you handle it on the offensive line. I've heard, and this is from somebody who is in the know that I completely trust who told me this, and this is somebody
Brady Quinn.
Who's...
Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it actually wasn't Brady Quinn.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've got like 3 sources. It actually wasn't him.
I'm kidding.
There was a coach, and I'm not going to say who it was, but there was an offensive coordinator recently in the NFL who got fired. And part of the reason he got fired is because the organization knew that the plays he was calling was just so he could get hired as a head coach the next year. That he literally was calling plays that were going to be these wow plays that were going to jump out to you on the screen.
Right, right.
Just so that would look good in an interview. And the team was like, well, hold on a second. If that's hurting us winning games now, we can't have that. And he actually lost his job because of that. That's a true story. I think that applies to offensive-minded head coaches in the NFL to where they get into these situations and it's like, I could run the ball. Yeah, I could grind the clock down, but man, we've been having so much success throwing the ball around and, you know, let's take this approach. And he didn't take that approach. And I also think that he knew that those whispers were out there because you remember when Jimmy Garoppolo got all sorts of criticism because they beat the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC playoffs a couple years ago, and Jimmy Garoppolo hardly threw the ball. They ran the ball almost the entire game.
That was the Packers when they beat the Packers, right?
Yeah, Packers or the Vikings, one of those two.
It was the Packers.
I think it was Kyle Shanahan making a statement. Right. Oh, you don't think I run the ball, huh? Watch this. And he goes out there and just overwhelmingly ran the ball nonstop.
They ran the ball and rushed for 200 yards or something.
Crazy, yeah. And right. Garoppolo barely threw the ball. Like a handful of times he threw
the ball.
But
then in the Super Bowl, when you need it, you're up by 10 with 8 minutes to go.
Agreed.
They don't run the football.
It's weird, man. It's bizarre. Look, Dave Roberts... I mean, everyone could say what they want about, man, Dave Roberts, they get over the hump and the Dodgers are World Series champions. First of all, we're just going to pretend like they weren't down 3-1 in that series with Atlanta. We're just going to pretend
they were.
That
Atlanta
didn't
choked.
That they down.
Were. Yeah. That was going to be another year, man. You're 100% right.
And Dave Roberts has been buried. We're in LA. He's been buried by Dodger fans for years. So let's not pretend like all of a sudden Dave Roberts has figured it out and we know exactly what's going on with Dave Roberts and he's the guy to trust. Remember Ron Washington? Ron Washington had really, really good teams with the Texas Rangers. You know what Ron Washington's known for now, other than, you know, that alleged powdery substance he might have had on his mustache from time to time?
You know what? That was a powdered donut he had that morning.
And the little six-pack. A little six-pack from 7-Eleven. I hear you. Listen, it happens to the best of us. But this Ron Washington, people are going to look back at his time with the Rangers and they're going to go, oh, you mean the guy that was one strike away twice in game six or whatever it was against the Cardinals and blew it? Like, that's a lot of that's going to go on the manager.
Even though Nelson Cruz pulled up.
100%.
You remember that for that ball?
100%.
To this day, Nelson Cruz is a good ball player, but you can't pull up on a play that you can make, right? Even if you crash into the wall. We're two outs in the ninth inning to win the World Series. You can't pull up from a ball.
I can't. Rob, I think that is, and it never gets talked about, I think that is the worst championship loss in the history of sports.
I agree.
I don't think there's a worse one. If I were a Rangers fan, I'd still be sick to my stomach over that game. Like you hit him in the back twice.
If he crashed into the wall, right, or the ball hit off his glove, or he caught it and then crashed into the wall and it popped out. I can live with that. Couldn't you live with that? I can live with that. But 100%. I can't live with a player pulling up two outs in the ninth inning to win a World Series. I can't.
Yeah, and so look, Ron Washington's going to be labeled as the guy who was the manager of those teams that couldn't figure it out, just like Dave Roberts would have been, just like insert any other coach who gets to a certain – Dan Reeves was a great coach in the NFL. When we think about Dan Reeves, what do you think about?
All those Super Bowl blowouts.
And look, it's not like he was blowing big leads in those games. So, yeah, I think the criticism of Kyle Shanahan's fair, and I don't think it gets brought up enough.